None of the roads to Bethlehem were easy, but the way of the Magi was the longest and most difficult. Often we think only in terms of their arrival at their destination, so we are liable to have a rather sentimental picture of the pilgrimage they made. They were not dressed in spotless cloaks of purple velvet or robes of crimson splendor. If they had crowns or turbans decked out with jewels, they would have been hidden away so as not to attract robbers. They would have dressed in garments for a long journey through rugged terrain. We can hardly imagine the danger, the hardship a desert journey would have been under the best of conditions. Most caravans only left in spring or summer, and these Magi came in the winter when most caravan lodgings would be closed. Their trip covered 1,000 miles. At home, the Magi had all the comforts of princely living, but something was missing from their lives. In ancient times, people believed that the stars in their unvarying courses represented the order of the universe, and that by understanding the stars and the constellations, they could foretell the future and learn about human destiny. Faithfully, as students of the heavens, the Magi sought what the stars would tell them. As they watched, they saw something unique, a miraculous light in the star sky. They saw a star which all their learning had told them would lead them to the birthplace of a very special king who would be the embodiment of peace and love. They were willing to follow the star, to risk everything, their fortunes and reputations, to find the reality the star promised. The wise men knew the journey was perilous, and they could not be sure that they would find the king. They knew the dangers of the deserts and the mountain passes, as well as the robbers who preyed on travelers. They knew also all of this, but they were ready to make the journey, no matter what the cost. The Magi gathered provisions for the journey and set out. Over the miles of treacherous terrain, they traveled with their eyes fixed on the star. Through the weary days and nights, they tracked the star, sustained by a sense of awe and wonder. Hidden in their caravan were gifts fit for a king: gold from the ancient mines of Persia, frankincense from the balsam trees of Arabia, and precious myrrh. They were ready to pay homage to a newborn king, and yet their aim was nearly thwarted, and their lives were threatened by a paranoid ruler, King Herod the Great. Time has passed, and when the Magi from the East actually arrived in Bethlehem with their gifts, Jesus was almost 2 years old. We tend to forget this with our pageants and creche, which try to wedge the three kings and their camels into the stable with the adoring parents, shepherds, and barnyard animals. By the first verse of the second chapter of Matthew, the shepherds are distant memory. The Holy Family is well settled in Bethlehem, raising their toddler, when these mysterious figures from the East arrive to pay tribute to the young boy with their worship and gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It must have been a surprising for them, even a shock, for they had traveled to see a newborn royalty and instead found a toddler in constant motion, being corralled by his humble parents in and out of the place like of Bethlehem. It was probably only at bedtime, with the child soundly asleep, that they could even begin to kneel before this holy child in homage and present the gifts that they had brought. And so I find myself thinking of those wise men, those kings, and wondering about what stirred in their hearts to compel them to risk so much. What deep yearning for something other than what they had known led them to travel so far. And as I think of them, I find myself thinking of all of us and wondering at other journeys taken and what it is that makes such journeys possible, necessary, preferable even, to simply living the life that is right before us. What sign in the sky, what communication from God would make us go that deep, that far, to discover its meaning for us? And then it strikes me that those travelers to Bethlehem were simply living out their lives to their natural conclusions. For their life's work, their calling, was studying the stars. And when they saw a star which seemed to hold special meaning, all they could do, if they were being true to themselves and who they were called to be, was to follow its direction. So having studied the stars and having felt the prodding of one particular star to take this incredible journey, when they came to the place to which the star led them, they were met by God. We know this could not have been at all what they expected, at least not God in the form and circumstance before them there. And it may well have been that things were never quite the same again for them. Still, in that toddler full of life, they met the Holy One, God's own Son, and all they were doing was what they believed they were called to do. And yet at the same time, there was probably more than what they bargained for when they first started out. For packing up to travel to far-flung places was probably not in the job descriptions they first accepted. Indeed, what they set out on here and in what they experienced in and through this journey, there was a whole lot more for them than sitting in a quiet, familiar place, taking notes on parchment and sharing their insight about the stars with others. Perhaps this is so for all of us as we use and develop the gifts that God has planted within us, as we become all we were made to be with eyes and hearts open, and we follow God's leading out of our most comfortable places that we too might encounter a Holy One as well. And it could be that it might not look quite like we thought it would. But in the surprise itself, perhaps there is where God resides. And for those who teach and those who preach and those who lead and those who reach out with care and compassion and those who pray and those who do mission and those who nurture children and those who have business and financial expertise and those who, well, you fill in the blank. Maybe like those magi from so long ago, our first calling is simply to be who we were made to be. And then to keep our eyes and ears and hearts open to the opportunities when we are called to step out in faith, using those gifts God has given us to share the good news. Those times will come to all of us, that's for certain. And when they do, when we follow God's leading, it is also a sure thing that our lives will never be the same again. This very day, there are those among you who are stepping out in faith. Dixie Jenkins is about to be ordained and installed as a ruling elder here at Fairborn First. And Art Myers and Julie Brown are about to be reinstalled as elders. Shirley Schaffman and Cindy Bowman are about to be ordained and installed as deacons. And Judy Myers and Richard Winter will be reinstalled as deacons. All of them will be taking the lead as First Presbyterian Church begins a new year and a new era in her ministry, meeting God in both expected and unexpected ways, and shining God's light here in this place and out into the community and the world. May God give them all grace as the work begins again for Fairborn Church. Amen.